Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. I have to admit, I'm pretty excited about sharing what I have for you in this episode. It's late in the evening, and I don't usually do these recordings late in the evening. I do them midday or sometimes even in the morning, but there's a reason I'm late in the day, or I should say late in the evening, doing this recording this time, and it centers around the fact that I have spent the last couple of days editing the manual that goes with the brand new course that Dr. Chuck Coker and I have so diligently been working on for the last, I would say, year to year and a half now. It's called The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership. And I'm so excited about this course. We did the filming for the course a couple of months ago. The course will be released sometime in the very near future. But what I realized, and I have looked all over, I have looked online, I've done searches, I've done all kinds of things to try and figure out, is anybody else sharing this same kind of information? And yeah, maybe bits and pieces of it, but not in a format that really ties together leadership competencies with emotional intelligence competencies and infuses those together in a way that they leverage each other and create kind of a synergistic result, to be honest about it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The funny thing is, I was not planning on editing the manual for the course these last couple of days, but it just happened I had some time that I could do that. And sure enough, I look on my podcast episode schedule, and guess what? It was supposed to be for this week. It's supposed to be The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership. So all things work together for good, don't they? Let me kind of start to give you a little bit of background on why I think this is so important and what I want you to come out of this with today. Emotional intelligence represents far more than just managing your feelings. It's a sophisticated interplay of mental and social abilities, and it shapes every aspect of our personal and professional lives. While traditional intelligence, or what we call IQ, measures our capacity to learn and to reason, emotional intelligence determines how effectively we navigate the complex web of human relationships, how we handle stress, how we make decisions under pressure. As we face increasingly complex dynamics in the workplace and in the world for that matter, we need a new set of tools that will help us get through all of that. And that is what I want to talk about, and specifically the focus around leadership. And if you've heard me before, you probably heard me say everybody's a leader because you have to learn to lead yourself well first before you can lead other people. So as we face this increasingly complex world, and everything that's going on with the social changes, the political changes, and frankly, just changes everywhere you look, the ability to recognize, to understand, to manage, and to positively influence our emotional environment, both ours and other people's for that matter, it's become an indispensable skill for success, and it really doesn't matter what industry or what field you're in. Emotional intelligence consists of five key competencies: self-awareness, recognizing and understanding your own emotions and their impact on your thoughts and behavior, and how this impacts your interactions with other people. So literally, how are you showing up for other people? The second one is self-regulation, managing emotions effectively, controlling impulsive behaviors, adapting to changing circumstances. The third is motivation, harnessing emotions to pursue goals with energy, with resilience, and with enthusiasm. Number four is empathy, understanding and sharing the emotions of others, which fosters stronger interpersonal connections. And I'll go more deeply into empathy a little bit later, because I think a lot of people confuse empathy and sympathy. And then the fifth and final is social skills. That's effectively managing relationships, influencing others, fostering trust and collaboration, and communicating clearly. So why is all of this important? Why do I spend so much of my time with the neuroscience of emotional intelligence? Well, because it's really the only skill set that helps us in very specific areas of challenge. Let's talk about those challenges out there. And again, for this episode, I'm going to focus on leadership challenges. Modern leaders face an unprecedented array of challenges that demand high emotional intelligence. The shift to remote and hybrid work environments, it's fundamentally altered how we build and maintain team relationships. And I know this is a big deal because I've got a lot of clients that I work with that are trying to figure out how to live in this new world of remote and hybrid workplaces. So all of this requires new approaches to fostering connection and engagement. We as leaders have to now navigate the delicate balance between maintaining productivity and supporting employee well-being at the same time. And we have to manage our own emotional responses to uncertainty and change, because emotions are contagious. So the challenge of attracting and retaining top talent, and that's something else I do, is I help organizations find what I call right fit talent, fit the skills, the experience, the position, the leader, the team, the organization, the culture. All of those things need to be a good fit. Well, when we're trying to attract and retain top talent, you know, the demands of people have gone way beyond the old, well, I'll give you my time, you give me a paycheck, or you give me some form of compensation. Now, it isn't just about compensation. People want emotionally intelligent workplace cultures where they feel valued, they feel understood, they feel heard, and they feel supported in their growth. And honestly, that's the way it should be, but it's a lot harder to do that than just say, well, you give me the hours and the productivity and I'll give you some money for that. Well, we're in a new world, and it's going to be important for us to understand that as leaders. And for those of us that grasp a hold of this and learn about it and figure it out, we're going to have a huge competitive advantage. Here's another thing: conflict resolution in today's diverse workplace. It requires sophisticated emotional intelligence skills to navigate different perspectives, different communication styles, different personalities. Effective leadership requires a strong grasp of emotional intelligence to navigate the various challenges. Well, let's define some of those challenges. And as we go through this, I want you to think about which of these challenges are you facing right now. And if you're facing any two or more of these, then emotional intelligence may be a really good place to look to enhance your skills in those areas, or maybe enhance the skills of your people so that you can face these challenges and turn them into opportunities. Navigating change, number one. And if you say that you're not navigating change, I want to have a conversation with you, because I don't know anybody right now that's not navigating change. We have to adapt to evolving workplace dynamics. We have to guide teams through change, through transitions. Number two, stress and pressure. We have to manage high-stakes situations with emotional control and resilience. You can't just push through at the cost of everybody's well-being. It just doesn't work like that. The third one, productivity in remote and hybrid workplaces. There's another challenge. We have to ensure team efficiency and motivation even when people are spread out and they're not coming to the same location on a daily basis. The next one is attracting and retaining top talent. Using emotional intelligence to foster an engaging and supportive workplace culture. The next challenge is resolving conflict. We need to deploy empathy, which is the ability to navigate the emotional environment, and we need to practice active listening so that we can mediate disputes effectively. Coaching and mentoring is another challenge. We need to be able to support the professional development of our team members through guidance, through inspiration, and through encouragement. The next challenge, and this is one for just about everybody, because it never ends, and that's trust building. We need to strengthen relationships and team cohesion through transparent and empathetic communication. The next is innovation and collaboration, especially when there's a heavy emotional load, or when there's conflict present that's unresolved, or there are strong emotions present for people. The ability to innovate and collaborate can really take a hit. And that's why we have to focus in and leverage emotional intelligence to help us navigate that for ourselves and for our teams. We need to create an emotionally intelligent team environment that supports collaboration and high performance. And that's also a part of building a cohesive team, which is it's a critical aspect. If you've got a cohesive team that works together, they're all rowing in the same direction, they're aligned with each other. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what a joy it is to be a part of that team. Well, let me share just a few of the most recent research findings, because I always like to give some proof sources for why is this stuff important. Well, the first is Harvard Business Review's 2023 study, which revealed a striking correlation between leaders' emotional self-awareness and their decision-making quality under pressure, with emotionally intelligent leaders showing 30% better outcomes in critical situations. That's pretty significant. Here's the next. Gallup's Comprehensive State of the Global Workplace 2024 study. It established a clear link between emotionally intelligent leadership and organizational performance metrics. So teams led by individuals with high emotional intelligence showed a substantial 21% increase in their productivity compared to their counterparts. More notably, those teams demonstrated a 45% improvement in employee engagement levels, suggesting that a leader's emotional intelligence creates a cascading effect throughout their organization. These are really important numbers, because everything I'm telling you has a direct impact on profitability and return on investment. And for you C-level people out there listening to this, if you want the numbers, I would be happy to have a conversation with you about how emotional intelligence will skyrocket your return on investment and your profitability. And let me give you a quick example, because it's not fair just to say that and not give you an example. I had one client a few years ago that allowed me to work with their team for 1 year, for 12 months. In that 12-month period of time, we increased revenue 28% and we doubled net profit. So if you want to talk numbers, I'd be happy to talk numbers all day long. Here's the last one, a bit of research that gives us some additional insight. 6 Seconds State of the Heart 2024 Global Report provides perhaps the most compelling evidence for the long-term impact of emotional intelligence in leadership. Their longitudinal study tracked organizations over 3 years, revealing a striking 35% increase in employee retention in departments led by an emotionally intelligent leader. So when you think about just the three things that I've mentioned here, right out of the research, it really demonstrates that emotional intelligence is not just correlated with leadership success, it is a fundamental driver of it. So let me share with you now that a lot of what I'm sharing with you are some highlights out of that manual that goes along with the online course, The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership, that we'll be releasing soon. Let's move on. Let me give you some additional highlights out of the manual, which I hope will give you some insights that'll be helpful. Let's start with the foundation of emotional intelligence skills, and that is self-awareness. Self-awareness stands as the cornerstone of emotional intelligence. It serves really as a foundational building block upon which all other emotional intelligence competencies are built. So think of it this way. Like a skilled architect who has to first understand the ground beneath their feet, leaders must develop a profound understanding of their inner landscape before they can effectively guide other people. This chapter in the book, in the manual that I'm looking at right now, specifically focuses in on the essential elements of self-awareness. And it provides very practical tools. By the way, there are a ton of exercises and downloads available in this course. We're not just going to lead people with information. That's not enough. You need to have exercises you can try, different ways you can practice these new skills and develop them. And there's also going to be guidance on how to reflect on what you've learned, how to lock in the learning. So where do we go with self-awareness? Since it's so foundational to being an emotionally intelligent leader, it really is far beyond just simple introspection. It is the conscious cultivation of understanding how our emotions, our strengths, our limitations shape our decisions and influence those around us. Research from neuroscience reveals that the anterior insula, and I promise I won't go too deep into the science here, as much as I love it, the anterior insula, a region of the brain associated with self-awareness, becomes more active when we engage in deliberate self-reflection. So you can light up a part of your brain just by starting to practice self-awareness and self-reflection. This physiological foundation underscores why self-aware leaders consistently demonstrate superior decision-making capabilities and why they foster more robust team relationships. And it just makes sense, doesn't it? If you're more aware of who you are, your emotions, how they impact you, and how you show up for other people, you have a much higher rate of success in being a better leader because you know yourself. And that's an important start in this process called self-awareness. Now, I've got this little section in the manual called Core Understanding, where I really, in a very short paragraph or two, try to explain how this competency works and why it's important. So we're on self-awareness. Focusing on emotions is not a weakness or something to avoid. Emotional intelligence, and specifically self-awareness, is a competency that is critical to sustainable success and well-being for leaders, for teams, and for entire organizations. For a leader, emotional intelligence becomes the toolkit to effectively influence others for the desired outcomes. And isn't that exactly what a leader's supposed to do? Research has proven a direct correlation between high EQ leaders and high performance. And I've seen those studies. I've seen a lot of studies and research that continually has that outcome to it. I mean, it's almost a direct correlation between high EQ and high performance. So self-awareness is a critical component of something we call competence. And it's closely tied to social skills. That competence is really important because between self-awareness and social skills, you can increase your competence as a leader. And in the course, we go a lot deeper into the four C's of good leadership, of excellence in leadership, competence being one of those. Now, let's move on to the next one. The next one of the five primary competencies of emotional intelligence, and that's self-regulation. In the complex landscape of modern leadership, self-regulation emerges as a critical differentiator between effective and struggling leaders. Think about that just a minute. Do you want to be an effective leader, or do you want to be one that struggles? And there's going to be times we all struggle. But let's dive into this. This essential capability, self-regulation, goes far beyond simple emotional control. It represents a sophisticated interplay of emotional awareness, behavioral choices, and strategic adaptation. Okay, there's a lot going on there, right? But think about it this way. Can you regulate your emotions, not suppress them, not overly express them, but can you effectively navigate them for better outcomes? Be more intentional more often. That's what we're talking about. As we explore the depths of self-regulation, we'll discover how this vital skill shapes leadership success in organizational culture. So here's the core understanding when it comes to self-regulation. Self-regulation is the practice of managing emotional drivers for more intentional outcomes. Key abilities in self-regulation are consequential thinking, navigating emotions, and staying true to core beliefs, values, and goals. Self-regulation is a critical component of character. That's another of the four C's of leadership excellence, is character. It's closely tied to a growth mindset. So leaders who effectively manage their emotions and those of others create an emotional environment of psychological safety where team members are more engaged, they're more transparent, and they're willing to take risks. When you see a team that operates in that fashion, you've got a high-functioning team. And as a leader, that's exactly what we want. Okay, let's move on to the next three and last three of the emotional intelligence competencies to become an emotionally intelligent leader. And it starts with motivation. The journey of leadership begins with a fundamental force that separates exceptional leaders from the rest. And that force simply is motivation. So like a powerful engine driving a vessel through challenging waters, motivation propels leaders forward. It enables them to navigate obstacles and to inspire others along the way. In this chapter, and again, I'm looking at the manual itself right now as I share this with you, we're going to explore how to harness and sustain this essential leadership energy. Think about that. Think about having a motivation well inside of yourself, like a water well. You go, you drop the bucket in, you bring up a bucket of water. Well, we all have this well in ourselves, our motivation well. The question to you is, does it replenish itself fast enough so that anytime you go to get more energy and motivation, it's there for you? Or do you have a leak in your well? Is it not replenishing itself? This is real important science we're talking about here, because people tend to think in our world today, and there's so much noise out there about things like motivation and energy and self-improvement and all of that kind of thing. But there's real science that I'm drawing on here to say, if your well of motivation is not refilling itself fast enough, there are things you can do about that. So let's talk about that from the core understanding section of this manual. Motivation is a key component of capacity. Interesting, right? Wait a minute, what does motivation have to do with capacity? Well, how can you increase your capacity unless you're motivated to do that? Motivation is very important when it comes to capacity. And I'll bet you have seen this in organizations or in teams. If you have someone that's not very motivated, they probably also have limited capacity to do whatever it is that they should be doing. Maybe it's enough. I'm not saying it's not enough, but it may not be, there may not be a lot of extra room there, not a lot of extra capacity. Emotional intelligence skills are engaging intrinsic motivation and exercising optimism when it comes to driving motivation, increasing motivation, which provides us the energy we need to do what we want and need to do. So, a little caveat here, external motivators or extrinsic motivators like money, status, recognition, fame, whatever, they're unreliable. They're not good sources of motivation. They just don't last very long. However, intrinsic motivation, which is based on our beliefs, our values, our goals, that's much more reliable as far as motivators to provide us energy. It's also much more long-term if we're pulling from our beliefs and our values and our goals, our aspirations. Capacity is a combination of motivation and realizing potential. So if you have the energy and you are working toward unlocking more potential in yourself or in other people, then you're definitely going to increase capacity. You know what the interesting thing is? If you can increase capacity, you can also increase competence. Greater capacity allows you the margin you need to increase your competence as you're increasing your capacity. And as you increase your competence and get better at things, it creates more capacity. So it's a beautiful cycle if we can get on that flywheel, right? Get that flywheel going. At the heart of motivation is neuroscience. There's a very specific process in the brain that determines our motivation levels. At the core of an individual's motivation is what they believe to be true about themselves and their place in the world. From those beliefs, we create the rules that we live by. From these two things, self-talk is generated. And self-talk will determine our emotional environment. The emotional environment will determine our motivation levels. So our beliefs, what we believe to be true about ourselves and our place in the world, we create rules to live by from that. Those things create our self-talk, which then generates emotions and our emotional environment that we're living in. And that emotional environment is either going to give us motivation or it's going to take motivation away from us. So there are very specific things you can do to understand how to increase motivation, not just in yourself, in other people as well. The last two, the first of the last two is social skills. Leadership by its very nature demands strong social skills. A subset of leadership is management. Management is a focus on task planning, task implementation, and task completion within a set time frame. Did you do it? Did you do it right? Did you do it on time? Check the box. That's great. Good leaders are also good managers, but they're a lot more than that. Effective leaders inspire, they develop others, they build trust, they create and cultivate good cultures, they cast vision, they resolve conflict, and they motivate. So what's the core understanding for social skills? Social skills are a critical component of competence. So we're back to competence here. Social skills are the culmination, integration, and practice of all of the emotional intelligence skills and competencies, because that's where we're putting those things into play. Social skills are directly connected to self-awareness, and these determine a leader's level of competence. And the last one, and I've left it for last for a reason, and that's empathy. If social skills is the vehicle that leaders use to get their team to the desired place, then empathy is the fuel that the vehicle operates on. Empathy enhances connection, trust building, psychological safety, transparency, and a culture of caring and support. The core understanding around empathy: empathy is a key component of chemistry. That's the fourth C we haven't talked about yet. And it is directly related to people skills. Sympathy is a surface level approach to sharing concern for someone else in their situation. Empathy goes beyond the surface level to a deeper level of care and commitment to other people. It is an authentic desire to understand the emotions, the perspectives, and the circumstances that others are experiencing. And at the heart of healthy and vital cultures is the practice of empathy. So great leaders, I'm not talking good leaders here, I'm talking great leaders, have highly developed empathy, and it's infused into their daily practices and interactions. So let me start to tie this together for us. How do we become leaders that have mastered emotional intelligence? Well, let me first start with why it's important to do this. Emotional intelligence skills are 2 to 4 times more predictive of success than IQ. And that's directly out of a study by Salovey and Mayer called Emotional Intelligence. In today's ever-increasing world of complexity, and I know we all see it, emotional intelligence is now an essential skill set for leaders. What's the core understanding here on a high level? Emotional intelligence impacts every aspect of leadership because, in the words of 6 Seconds, the largest emotional intelligence organization in the world, emotions drive people, people drive performance. At the heart of leadership are the skills of emotional intelligence, and these are skills that can be understood and developed more rapidly than many other skill sets. However, emotional intelligence skills are perishable skills. Daily practice is needed to ensure continuous growth and improvement in these skills. Emotional intelligence stands as a transformative leadership philosophy and practice that goes far beyond traditional skill sets. The sophisticated approach to leadership fundamentally reshapes how decisions are made, teams interact, and organizational cultures evolve when emotional intelligence is in play. When leaders truly master emotional intelligence, they create an environment where engagement, resilience, and high performance become natural outcomes rather than aspirational goals. That sounds like a fun place to work. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at EQFit.